This is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil. The U.S. and South Korea said that they will end their annual large-scale joint military exercises as Washington pursues efforts to improve ties with North Korea. Seoul's defense ministry said Sunday the two allies will instead carry out adjusted outside maneuver trainings and united command exercises to continue firm military readiness. According to a Pentagon statement during a Saturday phone call between South Korean defense minister and his U.S. counterpart, both sides decided to conclude the key resolve in full Eagle series of exercises. The decision comes days after the conclusion of U.S. President Trump's second summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un in Hanoi, which ended without a formal agreement, but with both sides suggesting that they would, in fact, keep talking. Pakistan has confirmed that two of its soldiers have been killed in ongoing military skirmishes with India across the disputed Kashmir border known as the Line of Control. The media wing said that the soldiers were killed in the early hours Saturday morning in the sector of the LOC, which separates the Pakistani and Indian portions of the divided Himalayan region. This also comes a day after Pakistan, in a gesture of peace, returned an Indian pilot who was captured alive when his plane was shot down. The overture does not seem to have affected the situation in Kashmir, though, which continues to be the scene of relentless heavy mortar and artillery shelling between Pakistani and Indian militaries. Tens of thousands of people marched in Italy's financial capital, Milan, Saturday, against policies by the populist government that they say promote racism. One person wrote that Salvini Count Us aimed at the leader of the Northern League political party, Matteo Salvini, who's, as Italy's interior ministry, has blocked the arrival of humanitarian ships. This is VOA News. U.S.-backed Syrian defense forces continued their assault on the so-called Islamic State's last enclave in Baghouz, Syria, Saturday. Reuters correspondent Saskia O'Donohue reports that officials are confident that the battle will not last much longer.
The U.S.-backed Syrian Democratic Forces, or SDF, removed several hundred people on Friday, separating women and children from men who were taken for interrogation. The SDF then launched an attack to seal 4 years of international efforts to roll back a caliphate that redrew the map of the Middle East. On Saturday, the SDF said they expect the battle to take Islamic State's last enclave to be over soon. Some 40,000 people have crossed out of the jihadist diminishing territory in the last 3 months, as the SDF sought to drive the militants from remaining pockets. Their final advance was slowed for weeks by the jihadists' extensive use of tunnels and human shields. They have not ruled out the possibility that some militants have crept out, hidden among civilians.
That's Reuters' Saskia O'Donohue reporting. President Trump told an appreciative audience of conservatives Saturday that he will re-win election in 2020 and by a bigger margin than his 2016 victory. AP's Ben Thomas.
It's never been done before, and we're going to do it, I think, again in 2020, and the numbers are going to be even bigger.
President Trump covered a wide range of topics in a two-hour speech to an enthusiastic crowd at the Conservative Political Action Conference held just outside Washington, D.C. Part of his confidence, he says, lies in what he describes as extreme policies being offered by Democrats, including the Green New Deal.
I encourage it. I think it's really something that they should promote,
which he says would destroy the U.S. economy.
I just want to be the Republican that runs against them.
He derided House lawmakers pushing to expand investigations against him as sick. Ben Thomas, Washington.
Meanwhile, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders held his first public rally of the 2020 campaign, pledging to fight for social, economic, and political justice. AP correspondent Julie Walker has details.
Bernie Sanders is making economic justice a cornerstone of his campaign. And while the Democrat admits he didn't grow up dirt poor in New York City, he says his family did struggle in a rent-controlled Brooklyn apartment, so he knows hardship.
My allowance was 25 cents a week.
Well, he says Donald Trump, who grew up in the estate section of Queens, does not.
I did not have a father who gave me millions of dollars to build luxury skyscrapers.
Sanders says with a wide Democratic presidential field, he's the best prepared to beat Trump in 2020. Julie Walker, New York.
Find more at voanews.com. I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.